You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Screwing around with my computer, lost track of time. It happened. Google is rolling out an app that allows you to send text messages from your computer, your desktop computer. Yeah, text messages. So it's a cross-platform, cross-system app. Now they're out there. But most of the time they have to download an app, and this just works with all your messaging. So as if Google isn't up my ass far enough, right? So anyway, I saw that. I was checking it out. Because what happens is I can use it for the program. Yeah, how about that? Mac, it sounds like you have a cold. Yeah, Colleen gave it to me. She gave it to me, she gave it to Catherine, she gave it to everybody. Because that's the way Colleen is. Today's Joe's birthday, the puppy. He turns one. And I have to say, he... lucky to survive this long. Yep, lucky to survive this long. So he's kind of in a euphoric state. Never thought he'd get here, and he's here. Joe made it to 1 year old. He chews everything, man. Oh my God. Everything I own has chew marks in it from that son of a bitch. And I will tell you, he's paid for it. He has paid for it, so. But, yeah, he's gotten better, as puppies tend to do. So, today's his birthday. So, I don't know. We may be having a dog birthday party. That's right. We may be having a dog birthday party with dog ice cream, dog food. I don't know. Do dogs like it if you get them different food, or are they pretty much creatures of habit? I think they like different food, my opinion. I mean, because they certainly like my food. Oh, Mac, tell me you don't feed them off the plate, all right? If you don't want me to, I won't. Come on, man, everybody feeds dogs off the plate. Dogs smell that food with that sniffer they got? Jack, he's on it like radar. That's right. That's right. So, yeah, so back to my Android thing before I get to what I'm going to talk about here. So it says, okay, download the app and then go to this website. Okay, got it. And then it gives you simple instructions. On your phone, open messages. Okay. Tap the more options menu. Okay, so I do that. And select messages for web. That's not an option. Where do I find it? So maybe it hasn't been enabled for me? So there you have it. So I can't use it. So I was staring, looking like, am I not finding it on the menu? Did I get stupid overnight? Stupider overnight? Like, what's going on? So, and then I look up and it says 702 and I'm like, shit, not this again. So good morning to you. Let me tell you what we're going to do today. I played a speech that if you didn't listen to it, it should be on your things I need to do for myself speech. And that is a speech Commandant of the Marine Corps gave last week at the Naval War College. At their 69th Current Strategy Symposium. Yeah, very good. So I would tell you to go ahead and read it. Pretty interesting. Or listen to it. Even easier. Right? It involves no reading, so you can do it in a car. Yeah. All Marine Radio should be your commuting car function. Okay? You can get smarter. You'll laugh a little bit. And, yeah. So anyway, giving the commencement address at the Naval War College is none other than himself, the Secretary of Defense, J.N. Mattis. You know, and what's interesting is he has become this charismatic figure in the United States. He has this way about him, and I would say that he's not afraid to cultivate it a little bit, because he does, and I think he likes it. He very much likes his image as a warfighter, statesman, kind of a Renaissance man, with a rough edge around him. So you'll hear that today. So I'm listening to it last night to make sure that I have, you know, I know how long it's going to run. So where it's going to fit into the show and all that. So I do that. So as I'm listening to it, he's talking. I'm not going to tell you what he says, but I will tell you this. It's one of the funniest things I've ever heard him say in public. No, I won't say that. It is the single funniest thing I've ever seen him say in public. Okay? I've seen him say some funny stuff in private that I won't repeat. But in terms of in public, yeah, it's the single funniest thing I've ever seen him say. So the speech is about 15 minutes. And you'll hear that in the second hour today. And I'll tell you what, he made news in the speech because he points the most direct comments in his speech at Vladimir Putin and what he seeks to do. So he uses his forum in pretty interesting way. So you'll hear from the Secretary of Defense today. You'll also hear in some, I've followed the Fitzgerald and McCain court-martials because I'm interested in military justice. I'm interested in military justice because I don't know that it works right very often. And the higher up you go, I think it works fine at lower levels. Okay, at the misdemeanor level, I don't think it works very well a lot of the time at higher levels. Because I think there's competing priorities. Okay, it's not only about justice, it's about there's a component in there that says, you know, maintaining good order and discipline. And then there's also a component that we don't drag this out. We can make a plea deal, and so we don't throw all of this in front of God and everybody again and make ourselves look like shit. So with all that, those things competing, I still don't understand. I read and I look for somebody who can explain to me what happened on the USS Fitzgerald when it ran into the ACX Crystal at night and the death of 7 sailors. What you're going to hear is from one of the families. A father who lost his only son aboard the Fitzgerald. And again, if you don't read too much about them, the Fitzgerald and McCain obviously had collisions a year ago, as well as the Antietam running aground, as well as the USS Lake Champlain colliding with a Korean fishing vessel at noon. Yep. Anyway, the accidents are very different. The accidents, in terms of, you know, what they do, and how they kind of manifest themselves. The Fitzgerald essentially drives in front of a tanker going straight in, you know, in a passing lane, in a transit lane. And so we have these transit lanes all over the world. They're in the sky, they're in the sea. You're going to cross one. You know that it's, you know, this is the connection between, you know, Hawaii and Japan, Yokosuka. So if they're going between those two places, it's going to be, you're going to run across them here, right? If you're going from San Francisco to Hawaii, you're going to run across, the shipping lane is here. On this side, you're going east. This side, you're going west. And it's laid out like that, like a highway. It is a highway. And they're in the sea, they're in the sky. So the Fitzgerald's transiting that. I don't understand what happened. Because to me, one of the things you're going to hear this father say is he doesn't blame the sailor. He blames the Navy. But if you've operated in the United States military, you don't go to the field at 100%. You don't go to the field with everybody you're supposed to have. And then the people you have aren't all trained to the same standard. So constantly in there are leaders making decisions, who's going to do what, how we're going to mitigate not having this guy, this girl in this position who was experienced and now we have a novice. How are we going to do that? And you do that all the time because your personnel change on a regular basis. People go to school. Somebody gets sick, right? Somebody breaks their leg. Somebody joins who's senior. Now they've got to be in this billet. And so that's constantly changing, you know, and then your manning level's changing. So-and-so executed orders. They're leaving. And then your equipment, it's not always up. What do you do? So when I hear, in my opinion, the excuses that have been offered, it doesn't ring true to me. Okay? I don't understand how a United States warship does not have somebody on the exterior of the ship watching. I don't understand that. And if you're going to transit a shipping lane and there's only one, let's just say there's one person up there, okay? When we transit the shipping lane going north to south, the shipping lane is running east-west, so you're going to cross the street, right? The first traffic you're going to hit is coming from the west, which would be to your left. So if I only have one lookout, which direction am I? I'm oriented to the west, okay? And I'm checking both west, east, right? Because I'm going north, south. So I'm checking 360, but I'm most concerned probably with what's coming from the west, because that's where the majority of the traffic is. Do we not do that anymore? And for the life of me, I don't understand it. And if you're the officer of the deck and you go up there and you get your turnover brief, hey, we're crossing the shipping lane, CO wants the ship to remain between 20 and 22 knots, this radar is degraded, CIC is reporting this, you know, this radar is, you know, blah, 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 blah. If our radar is degraded and we're going through a shipping lane, to me, it's pretty, I don't want to say common sense, right? It's pretty common sense for me to say, okay, then double the watch on the 09 level. Roger. Okay, because and the way that would manifest itself is all of a sudden I'm seeing a ship that isn't being reported to me by anybody. Okay? We don't have stray ships in proximity to our ship. Okay? So I called out, hey, you guys didn't report this, right? Gunner's down in CIC. Hey, Gunner, you guys didn't report this. What's going on? Well, hey, Mac, our radar's degraded. Okay, are you sure you're in close-range mode, not long-range mode? Stand by, you know. Yell to the OS, which the Navy calls those dudes. Hey, are we in close-in mode? No, sir, we're not. All right, flip that on. Does that solve the problem? If it doesn't solve the problem, then we go to step B, which is send somebody up to the 09 level. Now we got two people up there. All right, we're going to be good. So we're going to do this old-fashioned way. You know, the fact that the equipment doesn't work doesn't mean we can't do our job. You know, we used to revert to World War II style, both in Iraq and Afghanistan, when we'd lose all of our digital communications. And all that takes is either a lot of dust in the air or a lot of wind. So it happened on a not infrequent basis. And you had to have those muscles ready, you know, so that you could continue to medevac people and execute fire support. And what did it mean? It meant that we did it World War II style. We did it Vietnam style. UHF, VHF, HF radios, they work. You use yellow canary pads. For anybody who knows who's ever communicated, they're pads, and we write message on them. From to time, you know, message content. You write that down. You receive a message, you write it down. They're carbonless copies. So if you fold the pad right, you can make three copies. One goes to the OD on a ship. Another goes to the, you know, or it goes to the senior watch officer in the combat operations center. The people that run those things. So I don't understand what happened. You know, I don't understand what happened. So if the systems aren't working, then there's other steps we take to mitigate that. So you'll hear this father. And he talks about his son. He has still on his phone the last voice message that he got from his son when he called from the ship and couldn't get a hold of his dad. And you'll hear the anguish and who he blames and what he thinks of what the Navy's done. I don't hold the Navy as an entity solely responsible. Okay, because like I said, you know, all these excuses I've heard, I believe are bullshit excuses. You, and again, I've asked Mike this, you know, a number of times. You know, 100-hour work week is 14 hours a day when you're deployed. You don't have anything else to do. And Senator McCain is up there railing on it. This is outrageous. That means you have 10 free hours a day. Ask the guys who come on this show. you know, if you would have had 10 free hours a day, what would you have done? Oh, what would I have done? Well, I could have worked out every day. I could have read a little bit, and I could have slept a lot more than I did. But you tend not to tends not to be that way. So to hear this on a naval warship where they're sleeping in beds every night and they're eating meals, you know, 3, 4, or 5 a day to include mid-rats and going and getting snacks, and they have a ship store, you know, spare me that bullshit. Okay? Then it's like, well, all the equipment didn't work. So what? All the equipment never works. Well, we didn't have all the right guys. We never have the right guys. What world do you live in where you so anyway, so you'll hear from a parent, okay? You'll hear from a parent of that. And I, like I said, I don't understand Navy. I don't understand the Navy. I don't understand military justice, and I think we screw it up a lot. Mac, why do you think we screw it up a lot? Because when you get high visible cases, a lot of times the people that are handling them are all, they've handled cases before, but nothing at this level. And so they're doing it for the first time. And when you have somebody who's doing it for the first time, what do you get? You get, I'm searching for the right word. I'm not exactly sure. Sweet Cheeks Musselman just sent me the following, a quote from Trey Gowdy, who, you know, is to me, he's a teller of the truth, right? Which is why he's leaving to go back home, because he can't do Washington, D.C. We can survive with politicians we don't trust. We cannot survive with a Justice Department we don't trust. I'm sorry. We cannot survive with a justice system we don't trust. Interesting. If you watched any of the hearings yesterday, when Michael Horowitz testified and Director Wray of the FBI testified, some of that stuff's pretty shocking. If I have time, I'll play Lindsey Graham's Q&A, which I found pretty interesting. So we'll do that this morning. On a Tuesday edition. So you hear from Secretary Mattis. Seriously, the single funniest thing I've ever heard him say in public. It's hilarious. And then you'll hear from a parent on the McCain, some audio that was recorded with him, via Military Times. And then, that'll be after we check the news. And then the gunner's gonna come on. We're doing gun talk today. Yeah. And, don't you know, we're going to, talk about the 45, the M1911 45 caliber semi-automatic pistol. That's right. If you don't got one, do you really feel secure about your masculinity? Answer, probably not. Or your femininity. Yeah. Can you be a legit woman without a 45? Maybe, but probably not. Think about it. So if you go to the read board right now, you'll see Gun Talk, the M1911, .45 caliber semi-automatic pistol. Click on that, and you'll see some pictures that the gunner sent me. So we'll use those during today's period of instruction. So, yeah, Gun Talk. We love it. All right. So that's going on today. So pretty fired up. So it'll be a cool show today. And I think you'll enjoy it. I got an email the other day, I'll read it to you. Hey Mac, I'm curious. I listened to the program, thank you for doing what you do. It's become my go-to therapy when I commute. Your humor, which constantly weaves through the program, the serious stuff you discuss, the serious stuff you discuss with the gunner is pretty cool. Takes me back to my culture. It relaxes me. I really enjoy it. question for you. What do you find the most satisfying doing All Marine Radio? So I thought about that over the weekend because it's a good question. What do I find most satisfying? I find most satisfying when people contribute to the GoFundMe account, but not for the reason that you think. Okay. I'll take you back over 2 years ago at the conception of All Marine Radio. Could this be a possibility? Okay. Do you think people would listen to, do you think our culture would listen to content based on our culture? And then we'll do a bait and switch. Once we get them to do that, right, then we're going to go ahead and we're going to, because they're Marines and they're subject to being bait and switched, okay? So we'll sneak in our subliminal message about post-combat related mental health, and we'll trick them. That's right. We'll trick them. And while we're tricking them, we'll make them smarter, and we won't have as much suicide. Do you think that will work? And my partner at the time said, yeah, he's financially, yeah, no problem. Everything he told me about the, and he's a sales guy, right? Everything he told me turned out not to be true. You know, oh, we can sell it, you know, just had a guy spend 75 grand on being in a movie, 150 grand, I think, being in a movie. You know, what we'd ask wouldn't be that much. You know, the people love to support stuff like this, blah, blah, blah. Everything he told me was wrong. Okay, and then what I got told was, hey, don't worry about it. We know what we're doing. And then he told me, yeah, my wife's going to do most of the selling, blah, 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 blah. Okay, no problem, man. I trust you. I believe in you. You know, whatever you say. Then it doesn't go according to plan, and he essentially quits. He just walks out. You know, my suggestion, hey, look, why don't we do something, take out a loan, stabilize this thing, and at the end of it, we'll divide it up, and we'll walk away if it doesn't work. No, I'm out. Whoa. So there goes the revenue. There goes the revenue side of it. And so it would have been a year and a half ago. So about a year and a half ago, I started doing a second show to pay the bills. And my second show used to go to where I used to do my radio show because I knew they would financially support it. And so I will tell you this. I can't tell you how many different times I've thought about you know, shutting off All Marine Radio and going to do something else. That would be, honestly, the problem with starting businesses, it's too exciting of a lifestyle, okay? And you read about businesses that they go and they're, you know, this is this entrepreneur, he's doing great, and blah, blah. You know, 90% of businesses fail. Yeah. So, like, that's a great story, but what about everybody else who tried? What's their story? And so you're trying not to be part of the 90%. You're trying to be part of the 10 or whatever percent. I just pulled that out of my ass, but I think the number's not far off. So anyway, I can't tell you how many times that I laid in bed at night and said, you know, it would be much easier if I just got out of job, got some bullshit job, right? Making, I don't know, somewhere between, you know, $80,000 and $120,000, going to work every day in Orange County. And, you know, just went about my business. But that's not what I wanted to do. It's not what my passion is. It's not what I love. And so then I was shamed into, hey, Colleen, will you shut the door so everybody on All Marine Radio doesn't have to hear you hacking? Bozo. Anyway, so I have this ongoing fight about my own personal life that I'd like to live, and my passion, which is Marines, our culture, the difference that it made in my life, the way I grew up looking at it as a young man and as a little boy, all of it kind of rolled into why I joined the Marine Corps. My experiences in the Marine Corps were better than I could have imagined. And then my experiences going to war in the Marine Corps made me only understand how special the Marine Corps is, how special our culture is, how special Marines are. And so my passion. And then you layer on top of that all the different things that you get introduced to, through this walk you do through the culture, Gold Star families, people that have been disabled, not only in war, but in training, and what they live with for the rest of their life. And so you see all these different, as you move the lens, you know, and you rotate the prism, you see all these different shades of the culture, and you see all this courage and all this selflessness. Family members who never, you know, Ronnie Reyes, he never asked for the burden that he was given. His father killed in Vietnam when he was 4 months old. Never asked for that, but he got it. And so you these things all, anyway. So anyway, when people, I was shamed into the GoFundMe thing. It had been suggested to me by people who very graciously said, hey, I'd like to, and I'd say, yeah, I don't really want to do that. And I'm not sure if it was a pride thing or whatnot. And they would, you know, nobody pushed it with me until Luke came along. Luke starts listening to All Marine Radio, and then he begins to email the show. And then he gets, like, militant on me. And he says, hey, man, I want to help. I'm like, okay, we'll go volunteer at a senior citizen's home. He's like, that's bullshit. He goes, why don't you start a GoFundMe? I'm like, why don't you go find somebody else to tell what to do? Yeah, go get married or something. So, which probably doesn't work out like that. But anyway, I didn't say that. So, he wrote me a very cool email about how much he had benefited from listening to All Marine Radio. And he said, I'd like to help. And you need to get off your high horse and allow us, who listen to you every day, to help. And you know what? And I thought, you know what? He's right. So I did that. What I love about the GoFundMe thing is the people that donate and the people that listen. But, you know, I don't have contact with people who listen and never email or never interact with All Marine Radio, right? And there's a ton of them out there that do that. They listen. But the people that give, and the reason this got into my head last night and this morning was somebody under the name of 0311 donated money to her. Didn't leave a message, you know, 0311 was the name he used. But I want to say it touches me because they get it. And this whole endeavor, is a long road from flash to bang, right? And like I said, I mean, when your sales guy walks out and just quits and walks out the door and says, I'm out, you know, it's not the most comfortable feeling. So out of those, you know, days in which you question what you're doing, you'd like to do it, but you don't know that you can continue to do it financially. You get it to a point where it's mature enough, it's big enough, that is self-sustaining, and it has a bright future. And then people who listen to it get it, and they want to help. And I can't tell you, for me anyway, that's how much that touches me because of you know, not only the journey through the valley of darkness, but also at the moment of conception, do you think that this would work, something like this? And I got asked this question 2 weeks ago by a guy named Richard. Richard's an author. He wanted to hug me. Yeah, I wouldn't, I'm not a hugger, just so you know. Like, if we ever meet, don't expect a bro hug from me. There's a lot of different reasons for it, okay? There's a lot of different reasons for it. I just got a couple of, here's a message. Don't give up on All Marine Radio. You would be a shitty dog catcher in Orange County. But there might be a good slot at the DMV. Nah, stay in this job. It's a no-brainer. But again, so what touches me is in the middle of the night, somebody's listening someplace. And they make a contribution. And it is the validation of the thought. It is the validation of the valley of darkness. It is the validation that of people that have encouraged me and people that this program touches in a way that helps them. That helps them. And I will tell you what, this all starts with a gunnery sergeant who has turned into a bit of a recluse on me. But his name's Lance Y. And it's the first bit of post-combat related mental health advice I ever got in my life. And that was, you know, you're never going to get over this. And so that's where my journey with, you know, post-traumatic shit starts. You know, a helicopter crashes, 4 Marines are killed. You know, one's crushed to death, one's decapitated, 2 others die of wounds. And really, the traumatic part is, you know, the dance of death. Trying as hard as you can to save somebody and them trying as hard as they can to live and it just not working out. You know, and that shit sucks. But that was my introduction to this world. You know, and then Vietnam veterans kind of reach out. The ghost of the Vietnam veteran reaches out and touches me. Their experience, which I'm sure was handed down to them from guys in Korea in World War II, which got handed down to them from guys who fought at Belly Wood down in Latin America, in the Caribbean, Marines, as they dealt with their shit. And so, in answer to that question, that's a long-winded answer to what's the coolest part? The coolest part is that people get it enough to want to help spread the word, to enable the Billy Graham crusade about post-traumatic growth, post-traumatic stress, about our tribe in particular and the way we deal with it. Because I think our tribe, again, is pretty cool. The question that Richard asked me, the dude that wanted to hug me, yeah. Here's another email. Mac, I think you have issues. I do have issues. I don't like to hug. You know, man, I think it might stem from like a deep-seated fear that I'm gay. Right? And then having 4 kids and the Marine Corps thing, you know, it's all one big front because I don't want to admit that I'm gay. That's my defense when somebody says I'm a homophobe. Homophobe? I think I'm terrified I might be gay. Like, my friends would hear that. They'd start swerving all over the road because it is pretty funny. And, but I don't like that. Like, I don't like the hug. I grew up as a handshaker. Like, I've learned how to bro hug. But, like, I don't need to do that. It's not my style. So this guy says, yeah. And I say, look, I don't hug. He's like, oh, well, when we're done, I'm hugging you. I'm like, no, look. When we shake, you know how you roll from a handshake into a hug, into the bro hug, hey, man, because I don't just go straight bro hug. It's a handshake that rolls into a bro hug. That's how I do it, okay, if I'm forced to do it. But 90% of the time when I handshake, if I lock my elbow, yeah, you're not coming close to me. I got my locked elbow between us, okay? You and your nastiness, you can stay over there. Yo, what's up, bro? That's good. But anyway, what Richard says to me is, and you'll hear him at some point, he gives me this 600-page book. He goes, hey, read my book. I'll come on your show. Like, dude, I read every day. Like, I don't. When am I going to knock out your 600 pages? Oh, and watch my movie, too. I'll watch your movie. I'm not sure I can knock out all 600 pages. But anyway, that's a different issue. So, he tasked me. I'm like, what just happened? What just happened? Did I get tasked? Yeah, the guy got out as a first lieutenant, for God's sake. What just happened? So, anyway, he says to me, as we're talking about Almarine Radio's vision, which is to stand up all Army radio, all Navy radio, all Air Force radio. Okay? He said, do you think those would work? And I said, you know, I don't know. He said, I don't think they're not crazy about their culture like we're crazy about our culture. I said, I understand. I got it. He said, I think it's why All Marine Radio works. I said, I'm with you. But I would try it. I would try it. And so our culture is unique. We are different. And we know it. So anyway, with that said, we'll start the program. But yeah, what's the coolest thing that happens? The coolest thing that happens is when people get it and they want to help. That's the coolest thing. They want to help spread the gospel, And so it's awesome. And you get people that get it from older veterans to Gold Star families. And it's touching. Yeah. Yeah, I know everybody hates it when I go intimate, but, cause it's not really the way we define ourselves. Okay. But it's, you know, it touches your heart. People get it. They've lived it. They've seen it. And when they want to help, it's the best. It's the best. And again, the guy who helps the most is like the grouchy dude from the D.C. area. Yeah. This guy.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen from...
That guy. Yeah. He helps the most. He's awesome. No, but I mean, you know, and Nielsen probably shepherded. He was a shepherd in the Valley of Darkness, to be honest, because he got All Marine Radio from the start. Yeah, he got it. He straight up got it and saw over the horizon better than I did. So, anyway, that's the answer to that email. Long-winded answer, but yeah, you can see there's some issues pinned up behind their email. Oh, there's also something else I posted on the Read Board. Yeah, so you should check out the Read Board if you haven't checked it out lately. If you go to the website, go to the Read Board, okay, and you'll see a couple of new posts on the Read Board. One is, oh man, I screwed that up. I hate when I do that. I gotta fix that. Okay. One is the oral history of Graves B. Erskine. I got asked to put that up there. I have extracts from it. And it's referred to by General Zinni in his Combat Concepts presentation, which is, as I said before, the best PME I've ever heard. Anyway, General Erskine, a colonel, and then rises to the rank of general throughout World War II. And General Zinni says, you know, he goes, there were guys that practiced maneuver warfare. What is it? What is maneuver warfare? It's mission orders. It's simple tactics. It's violently executed. you know, he said, and he said, Gravesby Erskine, right? He was commanding general, 3rd Marine Division. He'd take all the tanks and put them over here one day. There was none of this two for you, two for you, two for you shit. He'd take all the mortars and he'd give them to one battalion and say, come on, you're doing this, you know? And he said he did this stuff constantly. And he said he was always bitching at the guys on his left and right flanks, Cates and Rocky on Iwo Jima, telling him to get your ass in gear and I'm taking this hill and I'm doing this and I'm doing that. So you'll find that oral history there. I'm not done QA in it yet to make sure that all the pages got into it because I scanned it in a machine because it was a lot. There's too many pages for me to stand there and scan. So I put it in I dropped the papers in one of these things, and so I got to make sure that all the pages are there. I will let you know when I do that. And then the other entry is Gun Talk. That's on the report today. So those pictures will be referenced today when Mikey joins us, and the beautiful one who's all into the beautiful game right now. Yeah. He is into the beautiful soccer game. Yeah, the Gunner. Go figure. Okay, so at least temporarily. And maybe at some point he'll get over that. Right? Maybe. And then he'll be on to something else. So, all right, with all of that said this morning, all right, the United States Marine Corps Band makes it official. Good morning. I want to talk about that dude. Remember the dude that he was a graduate from West Point. We talked about him on the show a couple times, but his name is Spencer Rapone. He got booted out of the Army finally. That's right. T-shirt graduating from a former United States Army Ranger, enlisted type. Applies to go to West Point and is selected and gets an appointment, ultimately graduates from West Point, communism will win, Che Guevara t-shirt under his tunic at West Point, he's got that picture with his tunic open, and ultimately now he's been, and I guess he went online and would make comments about what idiots his commanding officers were. Now, I'm not here to tell you how to live your life, but I will tell you that that's a bad move. I think it's covered under the UCMJ as well. Anyway, and I think most appropriately he's given an other than honorable discharge, which will follow him around. And so, you know, the American people spent a lot of money on that kid's education. A lot of money. And what's most interesting is that, I'll read a little bit of some of the things he said as he's been given his walking papers and shown the door. But, you know, communism will win. And he talks about, you know, the most sophisticated nation in the world going to Afghanistan and the things that have been done to the Afghan people. And then he talks about communism. And it's like, surely you were dropped on your head, right? Surely you were dropped on your head. Because if you want to know what form of government has killed the most people on this planet, it's the form of government you're advocating, right, for the people. So, a lot of confused people out there. Spencer Rapone is one of them. So, anyway, the national anthem begins the program. Another email. I laughed out loud when you said that to the gunner. The gunner and I are talking about Marine Corps myths. And evidently he said something. And I said, when did you call him that? Right before you went ashore on Iwo Jima? That was perfect. You know what? What's best about having the gunner on is, you know, how much we know each other and how much shit we've been through. Right? And we know the way we know, okay? Mike's a good dude. He'll be fired up today, too. For a number of different reasons, other than just doing gun talk. Because the 45 is like his nemesis, right? It is a piece of Marine Corps mythology, the stopping power of the 45. Now, it's not altogether false, but the mythology is probably greater than the weapon itself. And so we'll talk about that a little bit. All right. So the United States Marine Corps band makes it official. Good morning to you on this Tuesday, the 19th day of June, June 28th. This is dedicated to whoever 0311 dude is who in the middle of the night donated to All Marine Radio. Donated $40 to All Marine Radio. And he is emblematic of so many other people that have donated to All Marine Radio. And what they're donating to is they're donating to a lifeline that gets extended to people that is based on our culture, but it is extended so that people can understand, especially Marines can understand that this isn't easy. But the key things, you're not going to get over it. Go get the help you need. Okay? And this song at the end of the program, all right, is a reminder, should be a reminder. It's our responsibility to live the high life. And that doesn't mean rolling around being high, okay? To live a better life. Because our comrades, they didn't come back. That's what they would want us. If when we're rolling through the valley of darkness and we bumped into them, like, whoa, I thought you were dead. Yeah, I am, Mac. But I get to roll through the valley of darkness, and I thought I'd come say hi. What's up? Hey, man, get your shit together. Okay? It's what we expect. What's this wee shit, man? You got a mouse in your pocket? No. Come here. And then you see a bunch of other guys you know that were killed in combat or in training. Hey, man, you're living for us, too. Live the high life. You got through it. We didn't. Okay? Live the high life. Live better. Do you need us to boot you in your dumb ass? No, man. I'm cool. I'm cool. Because we'll do it. We'll yoke your shit up. So again, that's what this whole thing is about. It's living better. It's helping people live better. It's extending a lifeline. And so, so this is dedicated to everybody. You know, from Luke, right? From Luke, who hit me in the face with a 2x4 one day, one evening actually. And Luke's a late night emailer too. He's got some weird hours. You know, his mom, Libby, who wrote me one of the nicest emails I've ever received. You know, so it's this is dedicated to everybody who gets it and who helps. And I can tell you what it means to me, and I can tell you the patron saint, what it means to him, that this thing is growing. And this thing is helping. And it helps us, it helps tie us together. And we're better when we suffer together. We're better when we communicate that. Because it's the single most important thing that I think happens. I'm not alone, man. I'm part of a tribe. Ronnie Reyes, learning that as a Gold Star son at the age of 50. I didn't know I was part of the tribe. That's right, dumbass. You is. Okay. To quote Florida. He didn't say you is, but he uses is in the place of are, and I like that. I like Flo's grammar. Anyway, this is dedicated to everybody who gets it, and then who endeavors to turn around and help and help make a difference in somebody else's life. I think it's one of the coolest thing about our tribe. It's one of the coolest thing about our culture, and it's what makes doing All Marine Radio really, really, really cool. This is dedicated to all of you.
Country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
Let me be clear. As hard as the last 16 years have been on our military, no enemy in the field has done more to harm the readiness of the U.S. military than the combined impact of the Budget Control Act's defense spending cuts, worsened by us operating in 9 of the last 10 years under continuing resolutions, wasting copious amounts of precious taxpayer dollars. If you don't get the resources, my closing words, then your strategy is nothing more than a hallucination, because without the resources, there's just so much brave young men and women can do.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, you know, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once them bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage. Yeah.
Oh, man, that's awesome. Can you imagine, were you a Vietnam veteran, and you came home, and they told you to take your uniform off and don't talk about it and just forget about it?
I can't even imagine. I have so much respect for those guys.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
That's, you know what? That's a big part of our culture, winning. We don't talk about it enough. Winning. Yeah. Yeah, that's why that's why it moderately offends me when I hear people say it was like a war out there. And referring to a sports contest. Yeah, it really wasn't, bro. Okay? It really wasn't. I understand what you're trying to say. It was pretty competitive. So, leave it at that, okay? Anyway, currently, East Coast getting some heat. Already. Partly cloudy and 91 in Quantico. That's the hottest I've ever seen it in 2 years of doing this program. 2 years plus of doing this program. Sunny and 88 at Camp Lejeune. Clouds and 79 at Granbury, Texas. Clouds and 55 at Big Timber, Montana. 29 Palms getting hot. Sunny and 74 already in on the desert. Camp Pendleton, partly cloudy, 62. Mike Frazier sighting, for those of you who know him. Yeah. Mike Frazier's aboard Camp Pendleton right now. He is the post commander of a Marine Corps League post. I should join that one. Because Frazier's funny. Former CO of the 11th Marines. I need to get him back on All Marine Radio, just for whatever reason. He could talk about the Marine Corps League and why you should join. And you should join. I should join. I should join his post. Frazier was the chief of staff of the 1st MEB, and I was the operations officer for 1st MEB headquarters group, which supported them. So I used to have to go to his staff meetings, some of the funniest staff meetings I've ever been to. So the S1 or the S2, one of them, like they start first. They start talking, and when they start talking bullshit, here's Frazier. All right, you're done. All right, your shit's weak. Your shit's weak. Too, and if you go down that weak shit path, I'm gonna shut your ass off too. And when people would start going, "What? Oh my God, Frazier!" It was a comedy show, but we had short staff meetings, man. All right, anybody else? Same grounds. All right, let's get out of here. And it was like old core, right? It wasn't sit around and you get to talk for as long as you want to. It was getting hacked off at the knee because you were being a dumbass, Mike Frazier. Pretty funny. I used to walk out of those things, and I'd be laughing, and he'd look at me, and he'd say, I know you love that shit, don't you? I said, oh, man, come on. I hate when the lame asses running the meetings don't do that. It's called being in charge. Hello? When in charge, be in charge. Have I heard that in Marine Corps someplace? All right. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll do news. You're going to hear from J.N. Mattis here pretty soon. You'll also hear from, hold on, this is Trey Gowdy.
You're listening to All Marine Radio.
Yeah, that's not Trey Gowdy. This is Trey Gowdy.
Right with a question mark, and then right with a question mark, and an exclamation point in case anybody reading it may have missed the point of her emphasis. Peter Strzok responded, no, he's not. We'll stop it. Do I have that text exchange right?
You do.
Now, Lisa Page was an FBI lawyer who worked on the Clinton email investigation?
That's correct.
Did she also work on the Russia investigation?
She did.
How about the Mueller special counsel team?
She did for a period of time.
All right. So we're 3 for 3 on her working on the two most important Bureau investigations in 2016 and beyond. Now, is this the same Lisa Page that Andy McCabe used to leak information to a news outlet?
She was his special.
Trey Gowdy, man, he's awesome. He's a great American. And this is the same Trey Gowdy that said, 3 weeks ago, that it was appropriate the FBI have an informant that was in touch with the Trump campaign, which is not a very Republican thing to say, right? So that immediately gets your attention if you're a fan of the truth. Oh, Gowdy's not afraid of the truth, wherever it takes him. Okay, so he's sitting there. Now, he's already announced that I'm not running for re-election, going back home to South Carolina. He's sitting there with his tie undone or loosened and his shirt undone, right? I think it's a House, he chairs the House Oversight Committee, which deals with very high visibility oversight cases. So I just want to play a few minutes of this, and then we'll take a break, then we'll check some news headlines.
Counsel, and as we indicated in our earlier report, she was the individual through whom he provided that information.
Wasn't there also a text about an insurance policy in case Trump won in a meeting in Andy's office? She was part of that text string too, wasn't she?
Correct. That was on August 15.
All right. So this August 8 text was not the only time FBI lawyer Lisa Page was able to use the text feature on her phone. This is the same Lisa Page who admonished the agent interviewing Hillary Clinton not to go into that interview loaded for bear because Clinton might be the next president. And it's the same Lisa Page who said Trump was loathsome, awful. The man cannot become president. Clinton just has to win. And that Trump should go F himself. Now, most of those comments were before the Clinton investigation was over. And we are somehow supposed to believe that she did not prejudge the outcome of that investigation before it was over. She already had Hillary Clinton winning. I don't know how you can win if you're going to wind up getting indicted and or plead guilty or be convicted of a felony.
The contention among Gowdy is that Horowitz's, who is the Department of Justice Inspector General's conclusion that there was no influence, there was no bias by the FBI in their decision not to pursue charges against Hillary Clinton. Okay, and they specifically point to these people that were involved in these investigations that had this bias, and they knew that if they charged her, she would not become the candidate of the Democratic Party, and that Donald Trump would have a better chance of becoming president of the United States. And so they're getting after he's getting specifically after Horowitz for this.
So, I think we understand the first half of that text pretty well. She didn't want Trump to win, and she wanted Clinton to win. Now for the response.
So what he's setting up is a question that he will ask when he gets to the end of this. I haven't seen it. I just paused it. What he's setting up here is the documentary evidence to ask Horowitz, how can you conclude if the lead people involved in this investigation, if they're saying these things, that this investigation, there was no bias involved in it?
Senior FBI agent Peter Strzok wrote, no, he's not. We'll stop it. Now, I think this is the same Peter Strzok who worked on the Clinton email investigation. Do I have that right?
That's correct.
Same Peter Strzok who not only worked on the Russia investigation when it began, but was one of the lead investigators at the inception of the Russia probe. Do I have the right Peter Strzok?
That's my understanding.
Now, is it the same Peter Strzok who was put on the Mueller special counsel team?
Yes.
All right. Same Peter Strzok. And this is not the only time he managed to find the text feature on his phone either. This is the same Peter Strzok who said Trump is an idiot. Hillary should win 100 million to zero. Now, Mr. Inspector General, that one is interesting to me because he's supposed to be investigating her for violations of the Espionage Act at the time he wrote that, in March of 2016. He's supposed to be investigating her for violations of the Espionage Act, and he can't think of a single solitary American that wouldn't vote for her for president. I mean, can you see our skepticism? This senior FBI agent not only had her running, he had her winning 100 million to nothing. So what if they'd found evidence sufficient to indict her? What if they had indicted her? Is this the same Peter? He wasn't part of the interview of Secretary Clinton, was he?
He was present for the interview.
Huh. So 4 months before that interview where he was present, he's got her running and winning $100 million to $0. And it's the same Peter Strzok who wrote the bigoted nonsense of Trump. Trump's a disaster. I have no idea how destabilizing his presidency would be. He wrote, F Trump. Trump is an effing idiot. On the prospects of Trump winning, he wrote, this is an effing terrifying. In addition to seeming to like the F word, I think we have the same FBI.
Just for the record, I don't have a problem liking the F word, okay? So, I mean, Strzok is a piece of garbage, okay? But his use of the F word, come on, let's get over that. You can see, though, where this is going. And Gowdy is awesome at this. There's people that try to do this. I will tell you, a senator, Kamala Harris, former prosecutor, she's horrible at it. You know, Gowdy has this, like, southern kind of, do I got that right? Yes, you do, right? You know, Kamala Harris has this condescending, you know, Gowdy style. Very interesting, very cool to watch.
Agent Lisa Page and the same FBI agent Peter Strzok working on the Clinton email investigation, the Russia probe, and on Mueller's team. So we have the right text and we got the right people. I want to make sure we have the chronology right. July 5th, 2016, Comey announces no charges for Secretary Clinton, right?
Correct.
July 28th, 2016, the FBI initiates a counterintelligence investigation into Russia and the Trump campaign. And Strzok is not only on that Russia investigatory team, he's actually leading it. So that's 3 weeks after Clinton is exonerated by Comey, Strzok is leading an investigation into Russia and possible connections with the Trump campaign. That's on the 28th of July. Now, on the 31st of July, 3 days after the Russia investigation began, Strzok wrote, "Damn, this feels momentous." The other one did too, but this was to ensure we didn't F things up. This one matters because it matters. And if you happen to not know how important it is, he went ahead and put matters in all caps in case you happen to not focus on the importance of why this matters. Now, her investigation was just to make sure they didn't F things up. This one, we're 3 days into it, Inspector General Horowitz, 3 days into an investigation, but this one really matters. I wonder what he meant by saying the purpose of the Clinton investigation was to make sure they didn't F things up, but the Russia investigation, nah, that one was different. That one really mattered. You know, it almost sounds, Inspector General Horowitz, like they were going through the motions with the Clinton investigation. But boy, they sure were excited about the Russia one. Then we get to August 6th. This is less than 10 days after the Russia investigation begins, and Page says, "You are meant to protect the country from that menace." And then we get to August 8th, 2016. Less than 2 weeks after the Russia investigation even began, the lead FBI agent says he will stop Trump from becoming president. This is 2 weeks into an investigation, and he's already prejudged the outcome. And we're somehow supposed to believe that that bias was not outcome determinative. I can't think of anything more outcome determinative than my bias against this person I'm investigating with only 2 weeks worth of investigating. I have already concluded he should not be the president of the United States. And then we get to August 15th. Just over 2 weeks into the Russia investigation, Strzok says, "I want to believe the path you threw out, that there's no way he gets elected, but I'm afraid we can't take that risk. It's like an insurance policy." Mr. Inspector General, that is 2 weeks into an investigation, and he is talking about taking out an insurance policy because he can't fathom the target of his investigation possibly becoming the president. So I want to go back to the no, he's not going to be president, we'll stop it. What do you think the it is in that phrase, we'll stop it?
Oh, I think it's clear from the context, it's we're going to stop him from becoming president.
That's what I thought too. Now, I wonder who the we is and the we'll stop it. Who do you think the we is?
Well, I think that's probably subject to multiple interpretations.
Well, see, if we can go through a couple of
them, or the broader, or a broader group beyond that.
I mean, it's hard to fathom a definition of we that doesn't include him. So we know he's part of we. You could assume that the person he's talking with is FBI attorney who also happens to be working on the Russia investigation. She may be part of the we. But I wonder, Inspector General, did you find any other FBI agents or FBI attorneys who manifest any animus or bias against President Trump?
We did.
How many?
We have found three additional FBI agents, as we detail in the report.
And were any of them working on the Russia investigation?
Sorry, let me describe. Two agents and one attorney.
Two other agents, one other attorney. Were they working on either the Russia investigation or the Mueller probe?
I believe two of the three were, but I'd have to just double check on that.
Okay. Now, Bob Mueller was named special counsel on May the 17th, 2017. One day later, Mr. Horowitz, one day later, Peter Strzok is back on his phone texting some more. For me, in this case, I personally have a sense of unfinished business. I unleashed it with the Clinton email investigation. Now I need to fix it and finish it. Fix what?
Well, there is outlined in the report what Mr. Strzok's explanation for.
Oh, I know what he
was.
I'm asking the guy who had a distinguished career in the Southern District of New York and had a distinguished career at the Department of Justice. Would you rather cross-examine Peter Strzok on that explanation, or would you rather direct the examination on that explanation?
Probably cross-examine.
That's what I thought. How about finish it? When he said, I unleashed it, now I need to fix it and finish it. What do you think?
Gowdy is awesome. Okay, and again, I'm not going to defend. Donald Trump is his own worst enemy. Okay, and I know people who've done business with him that hate his guts and believe that he's a piece of garbage. Okay, but the issue that we have and a new effort, you know, in my mind anyway, for All Marine Radio is to begin to partner with philanthropic groups to raise money to promote elected service for more veterans, because the future of our democracy left to the hands of those who we see on TV right now is dismal. Okay. Veterans are a better choice, right? Cause they've served. They understand what service is. Okay. They tend not to be from a privileged group, and they've come together with people from every corner of the country to serve. And this infection that's moved from Congress now into the executive branch, which is, and in particular, the Department of Justice and the FBI, you cannot have that, right? And Gowdy has done as good a job of anybody in wiring all of this together.
I think he meant by finish it.
I think in the context of the emails that occurred in August, and the prior August that you outlined, I think a reasonable explanation of it, or a reasonable inference of that, is that he believed he would use or potentially use his official authority to take action.
But this is 24 hours into him being put on the Mueller probe. There's no way he possibly could have prejudged the outcome of the investigation. Maybe he did. Maybe that's the outcome determinative bias that my Democrat friends have such a hard time finding. Inspector General Horowitz, if one of your investigators talked about Lisa Page and Peter Strzok the way they talked about Donald Trump, would you have left them on the IG investigation?
No.
Did you ever have an agent when you were a prosecutor with this level of bias?
You know, as I've laid out here, I thought this was completely antithetical to the core values of the department and extremely serious.
Can you speak up, please?
I'm sorry.
I heard you. But you can say it where Mr. Nadler can hear you, too.
My view of this was that this was extremely serious, completely antithetical to the core values. In my personal view, having been a prosecutor and worked with FBI agents, I can't imagine FBI agents suggesting even that they might use their powers to investigate, frankly, any candidate for any office.
Well, I can't either. And let me ask you this in conclusion. I think you've already, you laid out in your opening that Peter Strzok's obsession with Donald Trump and the Russia investigation may have led him to take his eyes off of the Wiener laptop and notably ironic way caused Jim Comey to be a little bit later in sending those letters to Congress. So that is one example of outcome determinative bias. But I got to ask you, you used to be in a courtroom. You were on the side of the United States and you worked for the Department of Justice. If someone is prejudging the outcome of an investigation before it ends, and someone is prejudging the outcome of an investigation before it even begins, what is more textbook bias than prejudging this investigation before it's over and this one before it begins? I am struggling to find a better example of outcome determinative bias than that. So what am I missing?
Well, I think certainly with regard to the Russia investigation you mentioned, as you know, we are looking at that in an ongoing way. With regard to the Clinton email investigation, I think as we lay out here and go through it, we looked at text messages, emails, documents to try and assess whether the specific decisions that we were asked to look at and then the ultimate prosecutorial decision were impacted by Strzok, Page, and the others' views. And what we ended up finding, particularly as to the prosecutor's decision, was that was a decision they made exercising their discretion on their view of the policy, the law, and the facts as it was found. We've laid that out, and in our view, we didn't find or see evidence that the prosecutors were impacted by that bias. But as I mentioned in my opening statement, the idea here was to put out the facts for the public, members of Congress, to see, and so that folks who want to take a look at those issues obviously can assess them themselves.
Well, my time is up. I hope one of my other colleagues will explore that, because the explanation I've heard is that the failure to prosecute was predicated upon their belief that there was not sufficient evidence of intent on her behalf. And I don't know where in the hell you would go to find better evidence of intent than interviewing the person who actually was doing the intending. And when you make up your mind that you're not going to charge someone, and you make up your mind that you need to not go in loaded for bear, and then you read the 302, and there's not a single damn question on intent, it is really hard for those of us who used to do this for a living to not conclude they'd made up their mind on intent before they even bothered to talk to the single best repository of intent evidence, which would be her. With that, I would...
Mr. Chairman, may I make an inquiry? Mr. Chairman, in order to prepare our questions, could I have your guidance on how much time each member is to be allowed?
5 minutes, and Mr. Cummings can have the amount of time he thinks is necessary. The other members will have 5 minutes.
Trey Gowdy. Wow. And he lays out a pretty good case. I'm not exactly sure how you have that going on in an investigation, and you don't say, hey, it's corrupted, we need to reinvestigate that, because there's no way this can stand. But anyway, all right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back, I'll do news headlines real quick, and then you'll hear the current Secretary of Defense, James Mattis, and in a speech that where he puts he throws Russia under, he's very blunt about Russia, and so it's a major speech that he gives, a lot of focus on China, and so he pivots towards Europe and levels his guns at Vladimir Putin. and warns the nation. So I want you to hear that. But before he gets to that part of his speech, you're going to hear the single funniest thing I've ever heard him do in public. So don't touch that. More of All Marine Radio coming up next here on a Tuesday. I just got this email. It's entitled Show. Thanks for playing my part on your show. By listening live during the questioning. Love the show, Mac, especially that guy Gunner. He's the best. You must be a pretty lucky guy to be his friend. Thanks for the support, Trey Gowdy, U.S. Congressman, South Carolina. I'm not exactly sure who wrote that, but I'm pretty sure since Trey Gowdy was speaking at the time, it wasn't him. All right. This is another one from Ohio, man. Entitled, We'll Stop It. Have you caught the reporting that states the phrase was revealed during DOD forensics tools? The FBI omitted it when they turned over the transcripts. It was not redacted, but omitted. This shit goes deep, and it's chilling. I was actually waiting for Colleen yesterday, listening to the hearing, when they had Mr. Horowitz go through how they got these subsequent text messages to include the other part of one message of the no, 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 he won't. We will stop him. So he described the protocols the FBI used, then going to the DOD using protocols that the DOD had, and then I want to say they went back to the FBI, who used additional tools on it, and they found additional text messages. And they found something on the phone that was actually monitoring it that they didn't realize was monitoring it, and extracted data out of that. Yeah. So memo to all you people that may have to hide something on your phone. Good luck, man. Good luck. All right, we'll take a quick break. More of All Marine Radio coming up next.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.